If you still have your books marked to John chapter 6, that's okay. Leave it there. We're going to come to that in a few moments. But before we do, would you turn to Exodus chapter 16 for me? Exodus chapter 16. What a spread we had here this afternoon. All that wonderful food. Man, that was good. I do believe we had all five foods of the food group there. We had lasagna, beef lasagna, so there's our protein. We had Steve's salad, so there's our vegetable. We had Joe's macaroni salad, that's our starch. We had some cherry pie, that's our fruit. And it had whipped cream on it, that's our dairy. That's all five right there. What a wonderful table it was. Somehow I don't imagine that Israel of old had that kind of a table. After reading what our Lord left for us to know about them and seeing the table that they did have, we can say they didn't enjoy that kind of a table at all out in the wilderness. Are you in Exodus chapter 16? Look at verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim, I may not be pronouncing it correctly, but I'm doing the best I can, and Sinai. And on the fifth day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Most of us are familiar with that bread that the Lord prepared and gave to them. In verse 4, Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather at a certain rate every day, that I may prove them which they will walk, whether they will walk in my law or no. So God provided the nourishment for Israel's bodies, for the people of Israel, for them to get up every morning and eat. He provided them with bread from heaven, manna. Yet this bread was not good enough for them, was it? They were in the wilderness, nothing to eat. Their choice of foods was minimal. Their tables were meager. Yet God would not leave them to themselves, for they were to be a picture of election. We see a picture of God providing for his people. But as it is written in Romans 9:6, For they are not all Israel, which are Israel. We see that Israel were not all of God's chosen people. Israel was not just a picture of God's chosen people being delivered out of captivity. They were also a picture of the religious world. They murmured against God. They turned their backs on the one who provided all things for them. We could say the same thing about Christians today, couldn't we? Not all Christians, not all of those who claim to be Christians are Christians. If you look around the country of the United States, you might say that there's a revival going on. I would say not. If anything, those who don't worship the true and living God, those who worship themselves, is growing much faster and much bigger than those who truly do worship the living God. Notice in verse 2, it says the people murmured. They were not trusting the Lord, their deliverer. Their faith was not in the one that brought them out of slavery that they had suffered from for 400 years. God performed what I can only imagine was the biggest miracle right before their very eyes, and they still did not trust him. They saw that miracle. I can only imagine what that would be like to have walls of water standing on both sides of me that had just covered the ground I'm walking on, and yet the ground I'm walking on is dry. You cannot question a miracle like that. Nothing in this world that we know of or will ever know could ever do anything like that. It was definitely a miracle from God. Somehow the valley of the shadow of death comes to mind as I think of those who walk through that, looking on both sides, wondering, if the water falls on me, I shall surely die. Even the food from heaven was not enough to fill their lust or their desires or their bodies. Turn over to Numbers chapter 11 for a moment, please. Numbers chapter 11, just a few pages over to the right. Look at verse 4 of Numbers 11. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They kept looking back to what they had before in this little meager bread, even though it was all their bodies needed with the water from the rock to support their bodies, to give them nourishment, to continue on. All that was being provided for them by God was not enough. They were looking back at their works. They were looking back at the works that they had to do to get that food from Egypt, to have those tables. They had forgot that that work was bondage. They forgot that that work was what held them down. This is the way natural man is. This is the way of every one of us at one time or another. You see, it's the curse that was put on this earth when Adam fell. Bill and I were talking about it earlier this week, and he brought this out, and I thank God for you, Bill. You're iron sharpening iron for me. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. In verse 18, we'll start in 17. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And catch this. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. By the works of your hand you shall eat bread. You're cursed. You've turned away from the blessings and the wonders of God. And this is the cause of it. And this is the way each and every one of us are when we come into this world. We come into this world depending on the works of our hands. It's our very nature. It is to do all we can to save ourselves. The natural man says, Christ is not enough. I need more than Christ. I must do something. I must either be baptized. I must either worship on the seventh day. I must either exercise my free will. I must walk the aisle. Fill in whatever you want there. It's all about you. I may not have been a religious man before God called me out of darkness, but I had the same thoughts. Christ was not my need. I had myself. That's all I needed. Well, no, I needed my wife too. And yeah, thank God you get heed that he brought you to me. But that was, my point is I had no desire for Christ. I didn't seek after him at all. I was wandering around this world thinking the world was about me. Well, the Christian churches are the same way today. It's all about them. What can we do to save ourselves? What a awful burden that must be for a man to carry trying to do all of those things. But yet the Lord says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Christ spoke those very words. He is our manna from heaven, the bread of life. Just as God provided the nourishment for the physical bodies of his people in the wilderness, he provides spiritual nourishment for all of his elect. Christ is the manna from heaven. Christ is the bread of life. Turn to John chapter 6. The word of God was provided that we may feast in this land of wilderness, in this dry and dusty desert that we walk through in this life, the void of God in everything and everywhere that we turn. Dan and I were just talking a moment ago about, he asked me about my trip to Oregon. Some of you may recall when I came back, I shared with you there was no fellowship with the guys that I went with. They're great guys, good people to be around, but I had no fellowship with them. It's as dry as a bone out there. Where Dan works, there's nobody there for him to talk to about the Lord. Just, it's a wilderness. The valley of the shadow of death all around us. It may seem that there is a revival going on in the religious world. Churches popping up everywhere, but in reality this world is just as barren and desolate as the desert that Israel was in at that time. There was a famine in their land, just as there was a famine in our land. Most Christian churches today are nothing but religious. Christ is not in them. Lee and I were having a conversation this morning about a minister nearby his home. He had hoped, because he had seen his name on Free Grace Radio, that this minister might be sovereign grace preacher. And if he was, he sure didn't prove it in the first two sermons. Lee listened to part of one. No, he's not preaching the gospel. He's preaching all about the gospel, but he's not preaching the gospel. Sometimes our pastor has said this many times, it's not what a minister says, it's not what a minister says, it's what they don't say. Not once, I guess, did the pastor or the minister mention who it was that was in sovereign control, who it was the gospel was about. It was all about how we must trust in the gospel, or we must do this and we must do that. It wasn't about how the Lord is the one who brings us to do that. They were all about themselves and their own works. They're all about how you can better yourself if you would only exercise your free will and accept the gift of their God. In scriptures, the gift of God is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh. But if God gives you that gift, you will accept it. This is the new birth that Pastor Gene was speaking about earlier this morning. In order for us to accept that gift that the Lord gives us, he first must come and change the heart that we're born with, the heart of darkness. I think the Lord calls it the stony heart. Pastor Gene also read in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And again in 39, "And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but that should raise it up again at the last day." That doesn't sound like God sitting around waiting for us to make a decision about it. All. I don't know about you guys, but that just, you know, I have my two children, my granddaughter, my grandson, brothers and sisters who don't know the Lord. We all have family members that are unsaved. If we put our confidence in their decision for Christ, what confidence would we have? The only assurity that I have is that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, my Lord says. The only confidence that I can have is when our Lord says, And this is my Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. To say that Christ has done all that he can and it's now up to you is to call Christ a failure. And if Christ is a failure, he's not God. Pastor's absolutely right. God has never failed at anything. He made it all. If you make, you know, we can fail at stuff because we're not perfect. But God is perfect. In all ways. The Christ of Scripture has never failed at anything. That's how he is our nourishment. That's how he is our manna from heaven. When we look to him for all that we have, when we look to him for all that we know, when we look to him for everything that we believe, the true and living God, then what can fail? We feed on the bread of life. God in the flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John 6:24, will you? When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, I just can't pronounce those names, seeking for Christ, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And here's what I want you to see. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. They were not interested in Jesus. They were not interested in his gospel. Remember, this entire book that we have, that the Lord has left for us to read, it's a hymn book. It's all about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can even see where the Lord spoke to two men on the road to Emmaus. He preached Christ. He preached himself. He preached from the Word. He expounded from the Word all the writings from the prophets before about himself. The religious people of that day were no different than the religious people of today. Christ was not what they were interested in. Their works were what was important to them. Look at verse 28. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? What can we do? Can we go out and do soul winning? You ever heard that from other churches? You ever been to another church where it's all about soul winning? I find it interesting how you'll go somewhere and they'll say, Oh man, we brought 37 souls to Christ today. I don't care if the Lord has me preach from a pulpit from now until the day I die, if he brings one person to hear the gospel preached. That's all I care about. What about feeding the poor? Or how about this, living a life of holiness? These are all good things, and I'm not trying to down them. But when that's all you speak of in your pulpits, when that's all you talk about, how many of you remember the story of the church that preached for an entire hour on how the children raised money for an ambulance in some small town down in Mexico? My sister loves to tell us about the children and how they go down to Mexico and build homes for people of the poor. That's all really good stuff. I'm not trying to put that down, but that's not the gospel. God didn't say go out and tell everybody your good works. He said go out and preach the gospel, and the gospel is Christ, the works of God. That's what I feed on. I don't come here to hear what the church says about itself. I come here to hear about what Christ has done for me. Amen. I look in the mirror and I see the kind of person I am today. You know, I didn't see myself that way before. I didn't see how I turn away from the Lord at times and forget who He is. I didn't care who He was then. It didn't cross my mind. Thankfully, He gave me a new heart that sees what I am. And that way I can see how merciful and wonderful His grace is to me, a sinner. The natural man says, "What works must I do?" The true answer is found right here in verse 29. Our pastor read it earlier this morning. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him who He hath sent." Amen. Our Lord said to Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." When Peter answered the question who He was, Peter said, "Thou art the living Son of God." And the only reason Peter knew that was because God the Father had revealed that to him, not flesh and blood. He didn't learn that from somebody standing before him and preaching him. It had to be the Holy Spirit coming to him and showing his heart who God was. This is the food for a true believer. The work is done. And God must give you this faith. Even if that faith is so small that it's the size of a mustard seed, it is enough. Because it's about Jesus. And when it comes to Jesus, it is enough. If you believe the Word of God, it's because God has done a work in you. And He does this through the preaching of His gospel. Yes, sir. That's why He calls it the good news. Allow me to read an excerpt from Friday night's Bible study. Our pastor writes everything out, and then we follow along as he reads it, and then he adds in. And I really appreciate that. It really helps a lot. And he wrote a footnote on part of the lesson from the life of Joseph. Pastor Gene writes, "God's chosen blood-bought children are scattered throughout this ungodly, sin-cursed earth." Pardon me. "But there's only one place where His lost sheep can find bread. The true bread of life is given to God's blood-bought children under the preaching of His glorious gospel. Our eternal sovereign God has purposed the preaching of His gospel as His ordained instrument to call His sheep out of darkness, and that same gospel is what He uses to feed His sheep with His heavenly manna. Our Lord Jesus, who is the supreme controller, works all things after the counsel of His own will, and by His divine providence, He makes sure all that the Father gave me, remember? He makes sure that His lost sheep are brought to a local gospel preaching church. And in His appointed time of love for them, He will call them to Himself, giving them faith to receive Him, Jesus Christ, the true bread from heaven." Look over at verse 30, if you would, please. Of John chapter 6, verse 30. "They said therefore unto Him, What sign showest Thou then, that we may see and believe Thee? What doest Thou work?" Verse 31. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." And their question, and they questioned His works. What was His works? "This is the work of God, that ye may believe on Him who He hath sent." And they questioned it. Do not the churches of today do the same thing? Do not they question the Word of God? Have you ever asked somebody if they believe that Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, and had them say, "Oh, that's not what that means"? Is that not the same thing as questioning God's Word? They say, "How could God not love everyone? He created all things." I don't know. How could He love anybody? Yeah. I was going to read 32 through 41, but instead I'd like to jump over to verse 49. in 32, I'm going to read 32 and 33. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, is heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now go over to verse 49. 48. 47. We'll get it right here in a minute. 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that many may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, that I will give for the life of the world. Remember, we spoke earlier this morning about what the difference between the two worlds, the way the Lord uses the way world. Don't take that as the world does. Take it as Scripture gives it to you. But notice in verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They weren't satisfied again when the Lord Jesus Christ was standing right before them, telling them that he's the bread, that he's what they needed. They still weren't satisfied with that. So my question for you is this. Is Christ enough for you? Is Christ your heart's desire? When we come to this table here in a few moments, when you eat of the bread we're about to eat, will Christ be what's on your mind? Will what he has done for us be what you're thinking about? Is his death, his payment, his resurrection, is he sitting on his throne today as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Is that enough for you? Yes. How often have we heard people who have come into this very congregation and then say, you know, it's just not enough. I need something more. I need to go somewhere where there are programs. Something where there's something I can do. Is Christ enough for you? Or will you murmur? Do you need more to satisfy your soul? Verse 53. Then Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Amen. Folks, I would pray that it would please the Lord today to be your manna from heaven, to be your bread of life, the one who sustains you with the word of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, substitute for a sinner such as you and I. May he be your bread of life. Amen.